Citizens Police Review Board to order. As we invariably do, we're going to begin with introductions, and we'll start with Paul once again, and just move down the table, explaining your name and your role here.
Paul Dickinson, CPD.
Harry Castello, board member.
Ed Robinson, board member.
Denise Blazek, board member.
Stephanie Coleman, board member.
Doug Hunt, board member and chair.
Mari Bland, board member.
Rose Whippenmeyer, law department.
Earl Kraus, law department.
Good. Before we get started on the approval of the agenda, which actually is a, requires a motion, I'm going to suggest that since Peyton is taking notes and doesn't know us as thoroughly as Rose has gotten to know us over the years, or when you make a motion, say your name and then make the motion. That said, I'm going to say, is there a motion to approve the agenda as written?
Yes, Mari Bland makes a motion to approve the minutes for today.
Is there a second?
Second.
All, well, that's a roll call. Is that a roll? That's, no, that's all. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. We are in a situation now of being able to have studied the draft open session minutes. But we're just receiving, and I'll point out to the people on the board, you should have an envelope in front of you that has draft closed session minutes. It seems sensible to give ourselves time to read that and make that the approval of those. There's yours right there.
Okay, I'm like, I do not.
We can save the approval of those minutes for next time, so we'll have some time to study them. But I would entertain a motion to approve the open session minutes, which were posted and which we've got a chance to look at.
Yes, Mari Bland wanted to make a motion that we approve the open minutes for the meeting today.
Coleman, second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Under old business, we've got, and you can be, you might be looking at some draft copies here, brochure update. So we've got a business card, the miniature, and a draft of the a brochure. I think, and I was just talking to Stephanie, the long and short of it is I have no visual sense whatsoever. You know, what's the best layout for this sort of thing? Stephanie had some suggestions. I had suggested some things that were somewhat longer and things like that. She had some suggestions. I actually meant to get back to her and to the rest of you about those suggestions, but being an old man, I found that in my unsent message folder. So what I'm going to suggest is, since Stephanie's got the visual sense and stuff like that, I'll go ahead and send the comments I've got to her. And others might have other comments they've got on what we're looking at now. We'll see what...
Members might not know. Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah. Oh,
no. I am aware of what he's talking about. You know, my only comment to this is that I think, Doug, I know you probably can get a little wordy sometimes on some things, but I think the more we can keep this very simple and easy to read and concise as possible, 100%. The more impactful I think it is, and I think the quality of paper matters as well. So I don't know exactly what the quality of paper is, but I'm going to go on record and say that I recommend that we put this on some glossy type paper, like a real brochure-ish, not a car salesman type business card quality paper.
Yes, I completely agree. And that's why we had some examples that were created through the city. And then we went in and I went in one day because I showed it to my daughter and she's like, ooh. And I'm like, yeah, I thought so too. So we want visually appealing. We want, you know, we don't want a whole lot of words in it because less is more.
Yeah.
We just needed to say who we are. You know, a quick rundown of our main job duties so that people understand who we are and how to reach us. So I had created one just on Canva, which I'm not super familiar with how to do. So Doug, don't think that I have a clue. I had my daughter right beside me saying, okay, now what? So I don't know how much.
A brilliant tactic.
She was my go-to person.
Okay.
Does the QR code on here take them to the where to submit a complaint to?
The one that I sent did not because I wasn't all that fancy, but it needs to.
And the what we're producing here is a draft. City staff will help us with the actual production.
So we'll have
people who really know what they're doing, making sure that the QR code is readable. And
yeah, to answer that question, it does. It takes you right to where.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And also, you know, we'll, as you're saying, you can take a look at a Canva layout, and then if the eyes of the real designers see a little change, then I'm sure they'll make it. So, and then we can approve the funding.
Okay. Yeah. The ones that are linked are the old ones,
mm-hmm.
aren't they? And then I sent to the board the one that was created on Canva. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely don't like the ones that are attached to the agenda.
Right.
That's just me. So, okay.
I need to. Is there a way that you can resend the one from Canva? I don't think I've seen that.
Yes, would be the short answer.
Okay. Yeah.
I just got to figure out where I created it and how to get back in.
Yes. Look again. So I'm going to give a double yes there because I tried to do a version as compact as yours, but somewhat differently worded. So look forward to getting the Canva layout and look forward to getting my comments and anybody else who has any comments. I guess what I'm asking Stephanie to do is to be the funnel through which we work. And so she can look at those things and produce a draft for us.
I can do my best.
Or your daughter can. Right?
If anyone in the actual, you know, the department that created this brochure could just look at what I created and regenerate something similar, I would think they have good quality programming to be able to do that. Yeah. I would prefer they mimic it and then do add whatever they need to it. Yeah.
When you send those, if you'd send them to staff and then staff can disseminate them to the group so that we don't end up with a back and forth with the group.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. And I don't think that's going to require a motion. I think we can just decide that that's how we're going to do our business since we're not taking any definitive action there. The new business plan for analysis of complaint data for the supplemental annual report. When we go into closed session, we're going to be dealing with some of that work with the 2024 analysis. I'm going to suggest a next step in terms of looking at analyzing the complaints for 2024. And again, I'm going to suggest this in my feeblest voice, so to speak, and see if it makes sense to people. But we're interested in the ways that complaints come in and the way they get handled finally. And so we look this time at complaints that were sustained. We wanted to see what they looked like and see whether there's a pattern there, whether it corresponds with what we're seeing on the appeals that we get. And I think we had discussed the possibility before. There were 35 things listed on the complaint sheet that it was stated there was no allegation of misconduct found in the complaint. Now, I can see how that could happen. People are really complaining about I was trying to get to the football game and the traffic was being anything could be in those. You can see why they might be no allegation of misconduct in them. But it seems like as a sort of a due diligence thing, it would be worth sampling if we can get the complaints that were filed, those to see what sort of things are being dismissed as having no allegation of misconduct in it. First I won't see if anybody wants to react to that, whether that just seems like a good idea or not, and then there's some sort of technical questions maybe that might go into it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, with that notion of looking at the complaints that how you described.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's on the sheet of complaints, but they weren't in a sense treated as complaints because the finding was that there was no allegation of misconduct. Yeah.
But I do agree with that we should.
Yeah, and make sure. And I guess what I'm thinking is it's one of those things where a small error rate could be serious for the people involved. You know, if we got 35 of those, and a couple of them are questionable, we'd like to, you know, that's meaningful to the people involved. So sampling that would be it seems like a good idea. We don't want to exhaust ourselves, and you know, we probably worked pretty hard this week, and this is got a sort of a question for you, Paul, on these things. You know, when we were looking at those sustained complaints, obviously there was a lot of data. And, you know, we got it on the flash drives and whatnot, and there was a lot to look at. My guess is that on a presumed appeal that comes in and no allegation of misconduct is found, there won't be a lot of data. We'd essentially be looking at what the complainant sent in, right?
On an appeal?
No, not on an appeal. What I'm saying is, on the spreadsheet you gave us, one of the categories was things listed as complaints, but there was no allegation of misconduct. That was the last category on your spreadsheet. So we're interested in sampling some of those. But I'm guessing there's very little data on those as individual cases because they didn't spur an investigation.
Correct.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking is, therefore, it would be a fairly quick look for us to look at several of those and wouldn't be such an onerous task, if that makes sense. What I would suggest, I'm trying to think of what belongs in open session and what belongs in closed session, but what I would suggest is that we might have volunteers who want to say, I'll look at three, I'll look at three, I'll look at three, you know, more or less. And we can divide those up because it'll involve naming numbers from the spreadsheet. It might be better to divide them up in closed session, but is the method of just saying, volunteering to look at about three of these, so we might get nine looked at or something like that, so we can get a fair sample, seem feasible to you?
Excuse me. Rather than waiting for volunteers, why don't we just do what we did last year, which was bunch, and we said, you three look at these six, you three look at these six, you three look at these six, or whatever, we could divide
the thing. That's fine with me. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then if anything rises, just like, you know, that we think, maybe we should look at this. If not, I think we've done our due diligence. Fine.
Let me just ask a question about that, actually direct it to Earl in a way. If we actually sat down and people said, I'll take these numbers, is that going to be a problem to mention the numbers of the complaints, or is that a closed session issue?
Just the volume, I don't think that's, especially with a volume that's more than two,
right,
then I don't think that's an issue.
Okay, so if we were to name the complaint number, that wouldn't be divulging things that we shouldn't, because we'll have to divide up by complaint number. If you declare it a closed session thing, we'll just divide it up in closed session, but we can use very much the method that you're talking about. I don't think I care what numbers. I think it would be nice if more than one set of eyes was on a given complaint. I would trust you with the math, as a matter of fact, to make it work out. And I think that's a fine idea. We want a random sample. And again, I don't think it's going to be onerous to look at five things. In effect, you're probably reading five pages and saying, "What do you make of this?" It's not going to be. Yeah. So if that suits you, we'll just have the staff come up with a random sign. And again, my only concern is that we don't want to just have one person looking. Two or three people looking seems like a better idea. So we can.
I liked it when we divided it up and we had like two or three of us doing it. Yeah.
Yep. That'd be great. and might allow for the a more coherent discussion once we discuss them if these, say, three or whatever randomly assigned things go to this group of three people and these three to this group. You know, when I was thinking about it, Matt, I actually have some numbers down here. I think it'd be kind of interesting to pick, you know, not consecutive with, beginning with the first, but some from the first quarter of the year, some from the second quarter, so in case there's a sort of change in tone or something like that. But I'll leave the randomizing. Random sample.
Will you be putting the information on a thumb drive for us again? Or will we just go through the Axon again?
Like I said, we're out of space on Axon, so it would be a thumb drive.
Thumb drives again? Okay, so the next time we come.
Ooh.
And do we need to return those other thumb drives today last month?
We should be returning the thumb drives tonight unless we're carrying.
We were.
Turn them as promptly as you can.
Right. I think we should be able to finish anything we're doing with them tonight, so I don't see why they couldn't be turned in tonight. But I think once again, we're going to have to think about, if we're going to be meeting about this in a month, we're going to have to find a way to get down here and get those thumb drives. Mm-hmm. So we'll have time to look at it. But again, it's not going to, you know, you get it the day before, you'll probably have time to do it. So,
is there another way to disseminate the files? My computer doesn't have a flash drive opening for a flash drive.
Oh,
discovered that.
That's a good technical question. If you don't have a USB port that'll take a flash drive, yeah. How are you supposed to look at these things?
Do you have a HDMI on yours?
I don't think
so. USB. There's no USB port on your computer at all.
If he's a newer, aren't newer Macs?
It's a newer, yeah.
Just a Type C.
I know my new.
They usually have.
Xavier, there are very simple, I believe, adapters that would be USB A to USB C, possibly for like $6 at Target.
That might be one way. I think Earl was about to say you don't mind having one go out on paper if necessary. Was that?
Well, I was going to say there are. My laptop doesn't take these anymore, so yeah. I got this adapter that plugs in, and then I can take them. So
seems like that's going to be your answer. It might be good for it in the future too. So
Yeah.
Rose, you look quizzical. Like, I just wonder if you're checking my thinking. Okay. Nope. Right.
She's very chill.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Rose is ready for her next opportunity.
Okay.
I've been there, Rose.
So Steph, no sooner comes in than we turn to her and say, report from the Human Rights
Welcome.
Commission. Yes, welcome.
Hi. We actually heard from Janie Ridgewell at the City of Columbia's DIVERT program last week at our Human Rights Commission, which was incredibly useful. For anyone here who isn't quite aware of it, it is a program here in town through CPD, MUPD, and a couple of other agencies and the city municipal court, and they are diverting some charges there from some of our frequent flyers, our problematic folks who are just accruing things like trespassing charges and stuff, and through that docket and through that judge, who I really like, Judge Noche, I think his name is, instead of getting charged and having fines, their penalty is to do things like go get your food stamp card, go establish mail at the day center, and it's more of a rehabilitative program, which we really appreciate.
All right. Well, that's encouraging report. Unless somebody sees something else, I think we're going to move to general comments. I know that I will have some, but let's begin. See, I don't see members of the public who are likely to be interested in making comments. I know, we're not entirely used to that.
Where are you at?
I'll go ahead and start, but I don't want to foreclose other comments, but I do want to bring up something that we might need to think about. What we've been doing with the looking at the complaints that were sustained and the complaints that weren't viewed as having stated alleged misconduct, and we're beginning to look at how the whole process of complaints works. And I guess the way I would put it, seen from the point of view of a complainant, right, that complainant may or may not be well informed about all the official processes that need to go on. It's related to getting the brochure out and things like that. And, you know, one of the things that we're obliged to do and authorized to do is to get ourselves educated about how the system operates. And it strikes me that here is one that we really need to become better educated on. And I'm going to suggest that an item for a new business item for the agenda next month might be a look into that process. That is, I'll try to make it clearer. I wrote down some questions that are on my mind to give you an idea. I'll be glad to circulate these questions, and others might have others. But if a civilian who's not well informed about the process for filing a formal written complaint, what other practical avenues are open? Is it possible to start the complaint process, for instance, by talking with an officer or calling CPD or showing up at headquarters? Who decides whether a complaint includes an allegation of misconduct, and how is that decision made? Who decides what particular allegations of policy, procedure, and law are to be investigated, and how is that decision made? Who decides whether an investigation will be handled by supervisors within the chain of command rather than be investigated by internal affairs, and how is that decision made? To what extent are internal affairs investigations independent, and to what extent can they be influenced by command staff? Could we please attach a copy of all current policies that are applicable to such questions to the agenda for our April meeting and then open up a discussion? But part of the thing, and I'm looking again at Paul for some advice and expertise here, is we need to know who our best informed people in the department are to answer such questions as these. So, you know, that's related to who is actually looking at these complaints when they come in, and who understands best the way internal affairs and the complaints interact. Now, I'm going to pause there because that was a mouthful, and see if how the board feels about making that an agenda item for next month.
Is there an IA investigator that could perhaps come in the next month or so to just answer those questions?
It seems like some of those questions could be well answered by an IA. So that an IA investigator might not know how that initial step, you know, when somebody looks at the complaint, but can obviously answer questions about how the IA investigation.
But I'm also in favor, too, of, since you already have the questions, they can prepare and prepare answers and then have that for us in April. So I do like that idea of having the sending them the questions and then them and then bring
and
them
I
back
I can answer those questions because they answered to me, so they wouldn't.
So you might be able to do a presentation that covers these questions, and then we can do some follow-up questions.
You can just ask the questions, I can provide the answers for you.
I'm not sure that this is anything we can actually address, but I just want to say that since we already know from what happened this summer that the police union doesn't like us, doesn't want us, and really like to curtail us. And so many of the police officers, I feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder how enthusiastic anyone is over there about saying, yeah, here's this thing that's available to you if you're having an issue. You know what I mean? Like, is there any heart for that? Is there any... you know what I mean? Or that's what I'm interested too is, you know, the officers themselves, are they against us to the point that they wouldn't help anyone appeal to us? Or I would kind of like information on that thinking too.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what the rules are, it's whether you got the heart and mind for it.
Yeah.
I think we should always assume positive intent in an officer. Yeah, I don't think we should ever.
Trust with verification.
I think you're right, but we assume a positive intent until we see something that doesn't seem like that's the situation, because a good officer is going to do those things, and we assume that all of our officers are good officers.
Listen, I wonder if we can check that out. How does it work?
Yeah.
No, I'm not represented by the union, so I can't speak for the union.
Yeah.
True.
You know, that conversation kind of sparks up something in my mind that I think I've talked to a couple members about, is to build some type of relationship, camaraderie, and morale among the officers and maybe the department, because I think if our goal is to the betterment of the community of Columbia, then I think when both sides want to do, you know, have a common goal, I think we can work through some of those things. And maybe that's illegal, I don't know. But for me, you know, I'm not anti-police. I'm not anti-police. Paul, I don't know what your experience been with the board or what the experience been with the board in the past, previous years. But I've got family members, I've got friends that are part of law enforcement. So I'm not anti-police. So I just want to make that clear. And then I want to see how can we come together and say, hey, let's build a relationship with each other. Let's work together to make Columbia a better place. Because I think we can all agree with that, hey, yes, we need the police. Yes, has the police made, heck, we got a former police officer on our board.
We got two former
police. Yeah, we got two former police officers on our board. And so, hey, have the police made some bad decisions? Yes, they have. And have maybe some of the people that they were apprehending or whatever the case, whatever you call it, made some decisions on their part. Yes, that's true. But I think the whole goal for me in joining it is how can we make Columbia better? How can we make Columbia better? And so, Paul, that's my take on that. If we could come together and figure out how can we come together, is it, what does that look like? You know, and talking, I think we'll be on to something.
If I can tell you a little history, one of the ways the board has tried to do that in the past, actually two ways. Early on, the board established the Positive Connections program, and at that point, CPD gave access to compliments as well as complaints. So if board members saw a compliment that they wanted to specifically notice, they would then make an announcement at a Positive Connection report. You know, I read this compliment, and I think that's really good, and I think this officer should be commended for what they did on that occasion. So that was the first effort. The other effort that lasted pretty long is board members used to meet with the new recruits to welcome them and to talk about the board and how the process works as the new officers were coming on staff. Mm. And I don't know the last time I received one of those emails, but
last December, the one before.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So I don't know. I saw a press release that people were being hired. I just don't know if that is still continuing or not. But that's another option to build those relationships.
But I think, you know, I don't know what the situation is with our chief. I think it has to come from the top. You know, I think it, in order to be, for it to be taken seriously, I think it has to come from the top. And, you know, I think we need to start at the top. And I don't know if that's inviting chief to a meeting. Is that like a closed session? Is that like at somebody's house? You know, what does that look like? And I listen, guys, you know, I'm Mr. Positive. So I think I can save the world. And I know that I might be climbing up a mountain that's impossible to climb, but that's just my thoughts.
We do meet with the police chief at least once a year. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, shall we put this discussion on the other thing I would say pertinent to your comments is what we really want to be in a position to do, and you can look at it in the charge that we got from the city council, is to have police oversight so that we can assure the citizens of Columbia that the force is operating as we want to. We're in the business of reassurance. And I guess what I'm thinking is we have to have confidence in the processes that are used and be able to say we've got confidence in the processes that are used. In order to do that, we have to understand what those processes are. When
Denise and I went to the national conference, I mean, we saw firsthand numerous departments and organizations that were able to work together. So we know it can be done.
Yeah.
And when I first joined, I didn't have an agenda, but you know, part of the mission was to bridge the gap between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that statement, and you know, I don't know what the statement is quite now, but I still think it needs to happen.
I think so too, and I think the only way it happens is we've got to be very intentional that it happens, and I think with us having a liaison, Paul, it can be done.
Yeah, but I do think that we do need to demystify what goes on through their process, because we don't have a good idea. So, but no, I am fully on board with, I know he said he would answer the questions, but I guess like sending it to him so just to make sure. He's prepared to answer them. It's because I would like to know a little bit more about that process.
And guys, I didn't mean to get away from that.
No, you're good.
This is general comment.
I didn't mean to get away from that. That's what I thought about when I know our lovely lady here,
Denise
was saying. That's came to mind. I'll just take off with it. So,
energy.
I would personally really like the opportunity to ask a couple of IA-specific process questions and some time to prepare them, and then message the group and you to ask would be nice. When we're asking, are we allowed to mention not names, but like particulars of a case and ask why, like in this particular instance, why did X proceed to be?
I would suggest not doing that in open session. I think that's more appropriate for closed session.
Cool, I wasn't, okay.
Yeah, and if we have this sort of discussion in open session, I think we need to avoid mentioning particulars of cases. It might be in a closed session follow-up, we end up discussing some particulars.
Definitely no names. I just wasn't sure if we were even allowed to discuss a fact.
I think with what Doug has as far as questions go, I mean, I think it would be good to be answered more of in a training type setting, whether it was Paul that got up here and you know, taught us all.
Right, and some of what I was hearing in Doug's questions was, what's the process?
Yeah.
The process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When it comes in, who looks at it, and then who decides what, and what's the next step, and then who decides what and process things? I mean, if you wanted to, if you wanted to talk about a hypothetical, well, let's say this happened. We wouldn't want the hypothetical to exactly mirror a real case, of course.
Well, we're blessed with a good hypothetical or two, because we've learned from presentations about the case at the mall that spurred everything. It could be used as a hypothetical. And in the first year of the board's work, the cases were discussed in open session. It's all written down on the record. So we could build a hypothetical around a historic case and say, what would happen? What would happen? What would happen? That might be a way to go. So we can be more specific that way, at any rate, in getting our discussion going. I guess the other thing that I want us to think about here is our invisibility. We're here in the business of trying to reassure the public that the department is doing a responsible job, and we should make it clear that we're going to be discussing the appeals process next time. And, you know, if members of the public want to come and ask questions about the appeals process, make comments and things like that, that'll be educational for them as well as for us, I'm thinking. So.
How do we normally market that out, that, hey, this is what we're going to be talking about at the next meeting? Like, what does that look like as well? I'm completely new to this.
We don't really get it out.
I mean, the agenda is posted.
It is just the agenda. It's very regulated, like how they can advertise, I think, at least through the Human Rights Commission. I'm told, like, we cannot just willy-nilly post on Facebook, like through an official city page, marketing stuff on behalf of the city when we're board members. Everything that the Human Rights Commission puts out to the public has to be ran by some other third, probably law department, before it even gets over to social media to be released. So it ends up being a relatively laborious process.
So generally what I have been told by the communications team is if they don't
usually push out regular board and commission meetings. That's usually through following the Sunshine Law and posting the agenda and, you know, online and in City Hall. But if you have a special event, like in the past, the board has done, like they had a regional conference at one point. That's when they'll do Stories in City Source. They'll do a press release. They'll do a follow-up press release and a follow-up Story in City Source documenting the event. So when you do special events, that's when you're going to see the social media push related to the special event.
My question is, if this is affecting the people in the community, I know the last time that I came to a city council meeting, they were talking about change of prices and utilities. I think that's what it was. I knew about that. It got marketed. What makes that different from what we're doing here? And this directly frontward facing to the citizens here in Columbia. Like, what's different about it? Like, what's different?
I don't know where you were reading, Mario, but that raises an interesting question. I'm getting...
Because when I came here for something else, and there's quite a bit of folks here, and I saw it on my email. I got the email alert that they were going to be specifically talking about at some point during the meeting that they were going to up the price for utilities. So I knew about it, and it was marketed. Why don't we call this a public hearing? Because essentially why can't we call it a public hearing?
It is a lot different. Utility hikes would affect everyone, and through a democratic process, everyone should have a say in that utility hike. Whereas here, we're not editing a process.
We're not able to change.
I would consider this to be simply a work session, or like if we could prepare maybe 2 months in advance to have like an IA Q&A, you know, let's not necessarily work session, but an extended presentation.
So we've done it as when we say that we're going to have a training, we're going to have a presenter. Is that only on the agenda and only out 24 hours in advance?
It will vary based upon, historically, it's varied based upon what you were doing. So if it's just a presentation that's embedded within your normal agenda, then it's usually just done via the normal Sunshine Law compliance piece. The times we've done other things, it's been like you all plan a special meeting and you're gonna have this training event, or you're gonna have a series of presentations on a Saturday where people might really be interested in coming to something that is not when the board normally meets and it has kind of more, basically, is what I've been told in the past. But we could ask again.
Yeah, I think that's easy because here's the thing that I think that's very important that I don't want us to miss is that this is our chance to use this as an opportunity to create some type of exposure to let people know that we exist and we're here to be their voice for them. I think that's important.
And I feel like I need to point out, although I'll ask the people with city legal and city staff to see whether they see it the same way, we had formerly been authorized to hold public meetings and information sessions, and that authority was taken away from us.
I mean, you have your new box now, yeah. But I think what you were talking about is having training for the board.
If we do it here, we're having training.
And if you're having training, that's within, you know, that's still within what you're doing.
So it would be possible, for instance, to schedule a Saturday session, call it a training session, and invite the public to attend?
Well, I think the board decides when it's going to meet, of course.
I don't think Saturday would be good. Now, I think maybe
Thursday. Well, whatever.
Another part of it to go to...
Nobody's going to show up on Saturday.
To go to an earlier point about other resources in the city staff... be it communications or others, I believe, and Matt can probably speak to this more accurately, that they've established certain types of events that they will provide assistance for because there's like, 53, 55 different boards, commissions, committees, councils. There's a lot. And they need to focus their resources because they only have so many people and can only do so many things. And so that's been their directive, is my understanding. Is that fair, Matt? So, you know, to the extent you're wanting some extra communication or oomph, that's what you, doesn't mean you can't ask, but that's what you'd be going up against, because they're thinking, well, now the other 55 boards are all going to want the same kind of thing. And if they can't provide that service to everyone, then they can't provide it to everyone. So,
well, when we talk about, I guess, the communication piece of it, that's just an email push, right? That's just an email blast. That's all I was thinking.
Oh, they're way more sophisticated than that. They
Facebook posts. I mean, it's not that hard. I work in college football. We do blasts and all types of stuff and multi-million-dollar operation. So I don't see that being too hard to do. That's just me.
Right. Apply to that.
I appreciate that, yeah.
Right, where does that leave us then? Do we want to put this discussion of the appeals process as part of our regular meeting? Do we want to set up a special session?
On what we find out.
Why don't we keep it maybe as a regular meeting item next time, see what we find out and see if we want to pursue it with a special session. Does that make sense?
So you're keeping what specifically for a regular item for the next meeting in open session?
A discussion of the complaint and IA investigation process.
All right.
How certain judgments or decisions are made in that flow throughout.
It certainly can't hurt to make that an agenda item for next time, and we can expand and have a longer session. The other thing I was going to say pertinent to Maury's comments is I've gotten two calls from reporters today wanting me to comment on things. If I don't think it's illegal for me to talk to the press. If we've got a meeting coming up where that's going to be discussed and they want to know what's on the agenda, I can say that's going to be on the agenda. They can put it in the newspaper if they want to, right?
You can kind of say what you want.
On the open agenda, yes.
Right. It's on the open agenda, right?
Right.
Good idea.
And when you're contacted by reporters, we do have communication staff who work with the media also. Hmm. They do appreciate a heads up. They can also provide assistance in responding. So just FYI.
Yeah. And so there's no reason that the word can't get out by that route, too. And like if we have one of these special sessions, so it's not... We're not forbidden to talk to the press, is the point, right? So,
yeah. And am I correct that to the extent you have questions that you want to send to staff and staff can provide to Paul ahead of time so that there can be an awareness of those coming in?
I feel that could help. So that person isn't bombarded and that they can pull some of those answers ahead of time knowing, yeah, I think
about
that
it
would
ahead
help.
Of time.
Right. Okay. Right. And a simple mechanism would be, why don't I, again, send this out through channels, what I've got right now, and people can add questions so that Paul will know what's on people's minds, and then we can take
I that. Think that's great. Yeah, I just have one or two about some of the cases we've seen in the last 6 months. Like, hey, when this is that, why does, yeah.
And again, I think we just have to be careful about specifics in open session.
Yes, I will, yes.
And when sending those, I would send them to staff, and then staff can send them to everyone, blind copy, so you don't accidentally reply to everyone, so we don't fall into a meeting.
Sure. Who are you considering staff, so I know who I'm sending stuff to?
Matt, who would you like?
Matt and Peyton.
Matt and Peyton.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Any other comments? Let's go with board first and then see if staff has comments.
Well, for next month under old business, I think we want to get this brochure and business card out there because we've been talking about it for over a year.
I'd agree.
And we haven't really got anywhere yet. Nope. So we need to be able to finalize some stuff and get it printed.
I'd agree.
So that we can get it out to people.
Yep.
Well, I sent this to Rose, what was it, in January?
Time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago with all the revision.
I didn't
Yeah. No, I sent it in January.
Well, we have a budget. Why can't somebody on the board pay for it and get it reimbursed? Is that legal?
Well, the city, when it uses certain services, has procurement processes we have to follow. So I'm not sure you could just do that and get reimbursements.
I want you to know, Maury, that I asked all of these same common sense questions when I first came onto the Human Rights Commission and was met with the same confused looks. I do feel some civil servants may have been in public service for a long time. They may have forgotten how some corporate worlds work on a much faster pace. Yes, I don't want you to feel alone in some of these questions you're asking tonight. I have scratched my head at some of the same answers. The answer is usually no.
Well, you're right. Corporate world does move faster on a lot of these things because they don't have all these laws to follow. And we're required to follow these laws. And if we don't, we get sued and we lose. And so.
I get that. I mean, you're putting City of Columbia on something that we're handing out. So, I mean, I understand that. I'm just saying that for me, I know that I sent this in January and we're like already in March and we haven't really come up with anything different, so. And I just forwarded it to Peyton and Rose. I put you on it because your name's on there and it's my first person to go to, so. Right. But I did forward it again. I don't know if it's gotten out yet or not, but it was just a screenshot of Canva because I know, I'm pretty sure that your communications department or whatever probably doesn't use Canva. They probably have their own fancy programming, so I was just as a look of what I was thinking, and that way we could have some examples, and then we could be able to make changes and then finalize and get going.
That is wordy.
Yeah. I don't believe in paragraphs. I believe in bullets or short phrases because nobody wants to read a paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
I teach students who don't. My children don't. We want, you know, just the important information.
Too long didn't read.
Yeah, too long didn't read it. I mean, that's truth. That is, it's very true. Too long didn't read it. So, I want people to read it and know who we are and what we can do for them. So.
Comments by or staff. We're about to have a. In fact, I will go ahead and make a motion. That is, Doug Hunt will make a motion to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law under Section 610.21, paren 14, and 590.502, Revised Statutes of Missouri.
You made a motion?
I made a motion.
Okay, I second.
This, I think, does require a voice vote, as I recall.
Going to close needs a roll call, yes.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
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 All the yeses have it.
Ed Robinson, yes.
Did you call Ed?
Oh,